For the Medical Journal of Australia, I'm Kate Swanell. When the legislation governing the Medical Research Future Fund was drafted in 2015, it made clear that it should contribute to improving the health and well-being of all Australians. 5 years on from the start of MRFF distributing funds, a group of researchers from Melbourne and Sydney decided to review the way the MRFF hands out money. What they found highlights a disparity between funding and disability burden. Professor Christopher Maher is Director of the Institute for Musculoskeletal Health and is a senior author of the research. Chris is my special guest today. Perhaps we need to start with a bit of summary of what the Medical Research Future Fund does in terms of how it issues grants and how that compares with the way the NHMRC does it. Is that easy to do?
Yes, it is. I mean, the big difference is that the Medical Research Future Fund, or the MRFF, often has targeted calls. So there'll be, you know, an expression of interest with a particular focus that people have to align their research grants to. And if you don't fit that expression of interest, you can't apply. And okay. In contrast, the NHMRC is much more open. You know, we have these regular schemes and you can apply for almost any health condition.
And are they giving out the same amounts of money every year?
The MRFF is a new scheme.
Yep.
And it's increasing in value each year. And so I think over time, the plan is that it's probably going to be handing out about the same amount of money as the NHMRC are handing out. So yeah. The NHMRC is not increasing over time. It's been pretty flat for the last few years, but right. MRFF is increasing. And it's based upon that sort of quantum of money that the government puts aside to support it. So it's meant to be building up to a certain capital amount, a pool of funds, and once it reaches that, it's sort of then going to be dispersed from the interest, I guess.
Yeah. Now, obviously, your interest is musculoskeletal health. How does your area benefit compared with, for example, cardiovascular health when it comes to the MRFF?
Yeah, I guess my background is musculoskeletal, but we tried to take a broader view of this, and really we looked across all the disease groups which are in the Australian Burden of Disease Study, so that's 18 disease groups. And what we found is that, you know, there are winners and there are losers, and the extent of being a winner or a loser is huge. You know, some diseases are being given tens of millions of dollars and other diseases are being given tens of thousands of dollars. So, you know, cancer comes out at the very, very top, but conditions such as, you know, oral disorders or oral health, skin, hearing and vision disorders, they get a very small amount of money. So there's a really large range between the disease groups who are getting a lot of money and the disease groups who are not getting much at all.
Is the criteria about the number of deaths each disease causes, or is it about disability burden?
Well, that's an interesting question, because we tried to explain the variation in funding across the disease groups, and we found that it was a little bit noisy, but the best predictor was the death burden. So if we're thinking about a disease and how it affects Australian society, we usually think about loss of productive life, and loss of productive life could be because someone unfortunately passes away. And the other way that you can lose productive life is if you're disabled and you can't do your normal family and social role. And so when we measure the burden of disease with death, it seems to explain the distribution of funding a bit better. So if you consider disability, it doesn't explain it particularly well at all. So I guess the pattern that we saw is diseases that have a high disability burden tended not to do so well. The diseases such as cancer, which have a high death burden, tend to be more well remunerated, I guess. And for my particular interest, it's musculoskeletal conditions. It has a very high disability burden, so they miss out. But that also applies to those other conditions I talked about. Injuries miss out, respiratory disease misses out. So we've got a big spread. And so I guess I wouldn't want the story to be about musculoskeletal conditions missing out on funding. It's really, there's a tremendous difference across the diseases. And I think to have a healthy Australian society, we need to think about funding all the disease groups.
Just to be specific, you found that the top three contributors to health burden, if measured by death, are cancer, cardiovascular disease and injuries. But if you look at it in terms of disability, the top three are musculoskeletal conditions, mental health and respiratory disease. So is this a situation where something needs to change? Are you looking to make a change to the way MRFF funds are distributed in terms of the grants that are given?
I guess I'm interested in beginning a conversation about this issue because, mm-hmm. Clearly I don't have the opportunity to change the way that this is done. But I think amongst the medical and the research community, we do need to have a think about this. You know, are we happy that conditions such as respiratory disease, miss out even though they have quite a high disability burden? And are we happy that conditions such as injuries miss out as well? So I think people need to think about, the balance of spending the money, because it's all our money, mm-hmm. and how we'd like that devoted to research to improve the health of all of our Australians.
I'm chatting today with Chris Maher from the University of Sydney. His co-authored perspective is available at mja.com.au. While I've got your attention, just a quick word about the MJA's social media presence. As of Thursday the 18th of February, the MJA's Facebook page has been blocked as part of the platform's new policy of blocking all Australian news pages. We have contacted Facebook to try and reverse this decision. In the meantime, all our open access content will continue to be shared on Twitter, where you can find us at the MJA. You can also find us on LinkedIn. Of course, all our content will continue to be available on our website at mja.com.au. Back to our chat. Do things like cardiovascular disease and cancer, does it cost more to research those things and therefore they need more money for research?
We sort of looked at that issue, and then if we just looked at the number of grants that were awarded, we saw the same pattern. So it's not that people are doing more costly research in cancer and cardiovascular, therefore they have to ask for a bigger budget. Mm. If you took the dollar figures out and just looked at the number of grants, you get the same same picture.
Can it be, is there an economic argument along the lines of, for example, that disabling conditions cost a lot more over a person's lifetime, potentially more fatal conditions like cancer and cardiovascular disease? Is that an argument that could be used to turn up the money for disabling diseases rather than fatal diseases?
Yeah, it is. I mean, if you look at the main reason why older Australians prematurely leave the workforce, it's back pain, and the number two one is arthritis. And mm-hmm. so the government signaled that they want people like myself to stay in the workforce longer. The age of retirement is increasing, but that's not going to be possible because people have got poor musculoskeletal health and they're retiring prematurely. So there is an economic burden of people having musculoskeletal conditions and respiratory diseases. And so, yes, you can think about the dollar cost of someone having a disabling illness that prevents them from contributing to society, prevents them from working and contributing to GDP.
What would you like to see happen next, Chris? If you could wave a magic wand, what would you like to see be changed about the way things are happening now?
Yeah, if I could wave the magic wand, it would be good if the MRFF would take a deep breath and I guess look at the results of this and think about, well, maybe there are some conditions here which haven't been the focus of a targeted call for funding. Mm. Maybe we need to think about doing that. I mean, the other thing is maybe we need to involve consumers or the general public, because I think people probably don't realise all these sorts of things. And it's only when we've had someone with a problem in our family, we've had a mum or a dad who's broken their hip, with someone who's got some sort of hearing or vision problem which we'd like to get sorted out, then we expect that we would have, I guess, the knowledge as well as the health services to manage those health problems. And I guess research is about developing the best knowledge so that we can manage these conditions so people in Australia are as healthy as possible.
I mean, doesn't the charter for the MRFF say something about health for all Australians?
It does. And so that's really, at the very beginning, we went and looked at that act and it says very clearly it's about health and well-being. And those two words, health and well-being, I think that really lines up quite nicely with disability. People have disability, they're not enjoying the best health and the best well-being. So it's not just about keeping Australians alive. It doesn't actually say that word, health and well-being. And really what I'd be, we need to think about both those things. The diseases that unfortunately kill Australians, but there's also these other conditions which disable Australians. And both of those issues are important.
Yeah.
It probably need to be borne in mind when we're deciding how we would allocate the MRFF funding.
Does the NHMRC have the same issue?
No, not to the same extent. I mean, we sort of looked at it a bit. There are some conditions which always seem to be the winners in terms of funding, and the ones would be cancer, cardiovascular disease, diabetes seems quite popular. For some reason, I'm not really sure, but there are certain conditions which seem to not be front of mind when health bureaucrats, politicians, people in the media start talking about health conditions. Mm. So, yeah, for example, breast cancer is quite prominent. People would understand that, but yep. prostate cancer is less common. Mm-hmm. Now, there's different diseases that seem to be more readily brought to mind. And, of course, you know, diseases affecting infants and children, you know, a lot of people would readily think about those. But things like, I guess, skin disorders and oral health, you know, people don't think about them until you've got that problem. Someone you care for has that problem. There might be an opportunity, you know, I think MRFF started in 2016.
Yep.
It's now 5 years in. You could sort of look and say, well, how have we dispersed the first 5 years of funding? You know, have we inadvertently left out some disease groups? Do we need to stop and think about making them the focus of a round coming up? And
yeah,
so
yeah.
there would be the opportunity to redress some of these funding mismatches, but you really need to understand that the mismatches occurred in the first place.
Yes.
I don't think people in general would understand that there is such a large mismatch, which is shown in that table one, you know, the difference there is incredibly stark. If I was a dentist and thinking that you've got $179,000 for oral disorders versus $89 million for cancer, it's just so different. If you've got poor oral health, it's going to be very hard for you to have all your other bodily systems functioning normally. You know, that's just not going to happen. We were struck by this mismatch across the 18 disease groups. Time to take a deep breath and see if, you know, we've inadvertently missed out on funding some of these conditions. And it's not just me saying this to musculoskeletal, because it's more than just musculoskeletal that it's sort of missed out.
Thank you, Chris.
Well, thanks for your help.
My thanks to my special guest today. Don't forget that all our podcasts are open access and available at www.mja.com.au/podcasts. Or you can subscribe to our feed at iTunes. My name's Kate Swanell, and we'll see you next time.